Never let me down. He's faithful through generations. won't fail me now. Amen. Thank you, Jeff. He won't fail me now. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's good to see you back in the house of the Lord this evening. And I'm thankful for John 3:16. For God so loved the world. That means he loved Alan Clayton when he was lost and in his sin at 15 years old. I'll never forget it. It was September. And I was singing in a group, and I've shared this a lot of times. And I was singing that night. I knew all the words. I knew most of the notes. But I didn't know the Lord as my Savior. I'd gone around singing a lot, singing with my family. But that night, the Holy Ghost paid me a visit in a revival meeting. I thought I was there to be the minister, but I was there the one being the minister too. Amen?
Amen.
And the Lord convicted me of my sins. I was about halfway back. The Holy Spirit got a hold of my heart, and I came and walked an old-fashioned altar to an old-fashioned altar and accept Jesus as my Savior. And I'm glad for John 3:16. Amen. Glad to be in his house tonight. I tell you what I'm going to do. Rather than, is Randy back there? Don't leave. Stay there. I'm going to sing just a chorus of something I believe the Lord's given me over the past couple of days. I hope will be a blessing to you. Brother Don, if you'll come down, we're going to take up a quick offering. And let me just make one quick announcement tonight, and that is this. We have 209 boxes that need to be shipped. And we are about $300 away from being able to ship them. Everything's packed, everything's ready to go, but the postman won't take them for nothing. So we're about $300 short. Am I right in that? $300. So we're going to need some folks to put a little money in the bucket down here in the front, and that will be taken care of. And about $300, and they'll all be shipped. They'll get to the place where they need to go. What a great explanation of all of that this morning. I could never take anything away from that. But I'm thankful that someone is going to hear about Jesus because of a shoebox. Amen. So you make that a matter of prayer. If we can take care of the shipping for that, that'd be such a blessing. And but we just wanted to mention that tonight. Also, please remember, continue to pray for Miss Elna and DNA. They were here this morning. I don't believe they're back this evening, but what a blessing it was to see them back in the house of the Lord today. And it's good to see Miss Dolores. And they just need prayer, and they need the strength of the Lord. And you pray. Some folks are not able to be here with us tonight. I think the Martins, they've been at an event all day with CJ and Jackson, and so you pray for them. But let's ask the Lord to give us a tremendous night in his house. I believe I have something to be a help to us. It's been a help to me. Usually if it's a help to me, it'll rub off on somebody else, and maybe it'll be a help to you as well. But let's go to him in a word of prayer. Brother Don, would you lead us as we pray? I can trust Jesus. I can trust Jesus. He never once has failed to meet my needs. He is my strong tower, the strength in my weakest hour. I can trust Jesus. He takes care of me. Oh, I can trust Jesus. I can trust Jesus. He never once has failed to meet my needs. He is my strong tower, the strength in my weakest hour. I can trust Jesus. He takes care of me. The Lord take care of you. Say amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Mark. And I want to give to you what I believe the Lord's given me tonight. And that is this. And that is that we need to have faith over fear. Faith over fear. We've seen that on t-shirts and signs and all kinds of things. But I wonder if we really truly have faith over fear. In the book of Mark, chapter number 5, I'm going to use one verse for our text tonight, but I want to read a few verses building up to that. In the book of Mark, chapter number 5, beginning with verse number 22, it says, "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet," speaking of Jesus, "and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, and she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him." Now, look with me down in verse number 34. It says, "And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague." Speaking there of the woman with the issue of blood. "While yet he spake, there come from the ruler of the synagogues and said, Certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe." Be not afraid, only believe. Father, we thank you again for the opportunity we have to open your word tonight and, Lord, to share a portion. Lord, thank you for the way that you've touched me through these scriptures. Lord, I pray it might just be a blessing to someone else here tonight. Lord, I'm glad to know that we can trust in you, that we can have faith in you. Show us that from your word tonight. We'll praise you and thank you for all that's accomplished here at Calvary. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a moment here in Mark chapter number 5 where the noise of fear fills the room. Jairus is a desperate father, a man who has done everything in his power that he knows to do to try and help his daughter. Here he falls at the very feet of Jesus, pleading for his little girl's life. Can't you just see Jairus running out of the house? It has been noised that Jesus is coming into town. The Bible says that there's a great, great crowd of people. And Jairus comes running. I imagine he wasn't whispering coming down the road. But I can imagine that he was probably screaming out, "Jesus, Jesus, please come to my house. My daughter is at the point of death. My daughter's at the point of death." Dust everywhere on the streets, this great crowd of people. But he is trying his best to get to Jesus because he believes if he can get to Jesus, we've just read it in the scripture that he believed that his daughter could be healed. So he gets to him. Jesus hears what he's saying. And he says, I believe you're right. I'll come to your house, Jairus. You have had faith in me, and you trust in me to be able to do that. And we're headed back now to Jairus' house. But along in the midst of all of this, if you look back with me, let's look at verse number 24, I believe. It says, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. But in verse 25 it says, and a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard that Jesus was coming in the press behind, and touched the hem of his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched me? Now Jairus now has been kind of pushed over to the side of the crowd and everything that's going on. He was trying his best to get Jesus back to his house and to get him there quick. And now Jesus walking along, and in this great crowd of people, here comes the woman with the issue of blood. And she's pressing through, and she's trying her best herself to get through the crowd. And down on her knees, she reaches out and but touches the hem of his garment. Can you imagine Jairus standing over here on the wayside? He's probably thinking, oh no. Oh no, now what's going to happen? What's going to happen now? Now she has taken the time that I needed to be able to get him back to my daughter, and she's in the way now. This is now something that has cost him some time. An interruption comes. The woman with the issue of blood pushing through the crowd. Another miracle happens, but the delay here feels costly. In the meantime, another voice comes from the crowd, from Jairus' house, and says, Jairus, Jairus, don't bother him. Your daughter's dead. Your daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Now that is fear. What does fear sound like? Fear is final. Fear is loud. Fear is defeat. But Jesus refuses to let fear have the last word. He turns to the broken father and says, the words that still breathe life into us today, do not be afraid. Two words, only believe. Do not be afraid, Jairus, only believe. Now, back at the house, here comes faith over fear. Back at the house, there's a commotion everywhere. We've all experienced that at one time or another. And remember, this girl is just 12 years old. You know what it's like when death has crept into a room and everybody's crying and everybody's wailing and everybody's grieving, everybody's upset, especially this time. And this little girl's 12 years old. There's nothing that crushes us any more than to see a young person that young to pass from this life. And it grieves us. And you know that there's crying and there's wailing and there's a lot of noise inside the room. This girl, 12 years old, and people are weeping loudly. The professional mourners, if you will, have already filled the space with grief. But Jesus walks into this moment and he does something that every believer needs to learn. And he clears the room. Look with me in verse number 37. It says, and he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. In verse number 39, it says, and when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. Fear makes noise, but faith clears the room. Here they are wailing, worrying. It was all about worst case scenarios. The worst thing that could have happened has now happened. You know, we're a lot like that. You let something crop up or creep up in our life and we're having problems and we've let fear come in and take the space of faith and push faith aside, and fear has now come in. Here's the way we always say it. Oh, now look what's happened. Oh, I wonder what's going to happen next. Friday, we allowed our agent to come out and put a sign in the yard. The house is up for sale. If anybody's looking to move to Douglasville, I'll make you a deal you can't refuse. But they came out and they put a sign in the yard. Terry says, let me cook dinner and won't you go on up and take a warm bath? I'll let you know when dinner's done. She's like, really? Yeah, go right on ahead. She goes up and I hear her hollering. Remember, the sign's in the yard on Friday. This was Saturday afternoon. She said, you're not going to believe this. Come quick. I went up there. She'd gotten out in the shower. She said, I thought I was going to drown in there. What do you mean? I pulled the curtain back, and water is going over the side. She said, wouldn't you just know it? We get ready to put the house up for sale, and now everything is going to happen. I didn't have the heart to tell her that the front door got to where it wouldn't close yesterday either. I'm not kidding with you. I sent David Henderson, my hero, a picture. He's like, bad news. I'm out for about 2 weeks or out of town somewhere, and he's out doing some work or something like that. I'm like, no problem. So, you know that wind we had? It was fierce. It snapped that closure thing up, whatever you call that. I ain't David Henderson. It snapped that glass storm door slam off. And that thing's up there like, it's so crooked, I got up there and got a hammer, and I took at it and got that thing off. I said, that's okay, honey. I'll get that plumbing problem fixed, and then we'll get the door fixed. What do you mean the door? I said, well, it won't close. Don't let anybody come in that wants to see the house. Make sure you take them through the carport. Amen. Promise you. I was washing dishes that night. I reached down to get a plastic garbage bag. I took the trash out and everything. I mean, I was trying to be a good husband, you understand. Took the trash out, and I reached in there to get a plastic garbage bag, and the box was full of water. She said, we got to get out of here. I said, amen to that. You're right. You got to have faith over fear. Amen. So I believe I've got the little leak that was under the sink in the kitchen fixed. I left the house tonight. I went to Lowe's. I got to hurry up with this. I went to Lowe's yesterday and I told that guy, he said, can I help you with something? I said, Lord, I hope so. He said, what is it? I told him what was going on. He said, come with me. He said, if this don't fix it, you better call a plumber. And he gave me this bag of stuff. I poured that in there before I left the house this afternoon. So what we're going to do before we leave is we're going to pray for the plumbing. Amen. But I poured it all in there, and when I get home this evening, he said, go in there then and pour some boiling water in after a while. I said all that to say this. Sometimes fear will come and step in your space where faith once was. But we can't let those kind of things. See, those are just the scenarios. And we immediately want to look at the worst. When bad news comes, our minds immediately go crazy. And we always think the worst. We all do it. It's only natural. We say, oh my God, what in the world are we going to do now? Here they were in funeral mode. They were picking out a casket in their minds. They were looking at the worst case scenario. They were already planning for the worst. But I'm thankful for two words. But God. He knew before they ever left the house that day that she was going to pass and that they were going to come and he was going to go back to the house and he was going to heal her. Hey, but God was first on the scene. I wonder what God would do if we would worship him instead of worry. Anybody in here ever worry? Terry says, I don't worry about anything. I do. It's just different. Us guys, we worry about things different, right? We get accused of, you don't worry about anything, while we're back here wringing our hands off. But what if we were to allow worship to take the place of worry? I wonder what God would do if we would praise him instead of panicking. What would happen if we just made room for him? Jesus comes and he makes room. He gets all of that wailing and crying and all of that out of the room. And him and Peter and James and John and the mom and the dad are in there when Jesus steps into the room of the little girl laying there on her back. Faith can't operate when we're filled with worry. We are not supposed to live with a chronic fear over us all the time. Sitting back saying, I wonder what's going to come next. I hate to even say that after I've had three episodes in the past day. But God's able to take care of us, and I know that he will. When's it going to happen, and what's going to happen next? Y'all remember gloom, despair, and agony on me. You remember what show that was? Hee-haw. That was back in the good old days, wasn't it? Gloom, despair, and agony on me. That is not of God. We need to remove the devil from the room. There's much ado, the Bible says, much ado about nothing. Get out of here, Satan. You don't belong here. Get behind me, Satan. Declare that Jesus is everything and the devil is nothing. But God. No matter the problem, whether it be spiritual, physical, financial, no matter the problem, God has got this. And he has us in the very palm of his hand. We've all been through storms. Or maybe we're in a storm. Or unfortunately, a storm will be right around the corner for us, but God. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Amen. We need to push the enemy back out. He has no place here. We need to put faith first and not panic and not fear. Choose faith over fear. Did you notice that Jesus wouldn't allow everybody in the room? I wonder how many times our doubt has kept us out of the room. When the Lord would really try and show us something great, our doubt keeps us out of the room. You know, you can be in the room and not be in the room. You can be in the room here tonight and not be 100 miles from this service. And the Lord wants to do something for us. But we've got things on our mind. We've got fears on our mind. And it keeps us from being in the room. How many times has doubt and fear kept us from witnessing a miracle from God? So he took her by the hand in verse number 41. We'll read it. It says, and he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And she arose. Have you ever been going through something and you're carrying a heavy weight? Just remember this, you're carrying a weight many times that your shoulders were not made to bear. And you feel the Lord come in the room, and you know that He has touched you. I was sitting in my recliner last night, and I was going through this, and I realized, and I looked back over some times in my life when I thought, Lord, where in the world are you? I was looking over some things in my mind on the way over to church tonight, and I was thinking back over when I remember my mom and dad were both 57 years old when they died. 57, both of them. They both died with lung cancer. I'll make this very short. But I remember my dad passed away first, and I watched him suffer for 18 months with lung cancer. It was a horrifying death. I remember taking him every week over to St. Joseph's for radiation treatment, and he never complained at all. My dad had a full head of black hair all of his life. He weighed about 130 pounds all of his life, but he was a strong man. Maybe not in body, but in the soul. He was a strong man. He had a strong faith. And I'd watch his little frail body get out of that car and walk up to that door and down the corridor of that hospital, going to try and see if he could gain just a little bit more life through the radiation. He'd come back out. It would look like he had been fried in a deep fryer. Face red, and it was just a terrible sight. But he never once complained. All the way to the end, I remember I was actually preaching up in Rome, Georgia, on the night that my dad passed away, and he was at the Lady of Perpetual Care down in Atlanta, and he had a male nurse, and I remember getting the phone call, and I jumped in the car when I was finished preaching. I ran down from Rome, Georgia, all the way down to Atlanta where he was. I walked into that room, and his male nurse walked up to me, and he said, Mr. Allen, he said, I'm so sorry you were not here. He said, but I tell you, I have never seen such a presence of the Lord in a room. He said, look over there. I looked over at Daddy, and he had the biggest smile on his face. He said, I'm telling you, there was such a coolness come in the room. It's as if though all of heaven had opened up, and angels came in and just swept him up and took him home to be with the Lord. He said, there's something about the presence of the Lord in the room. He said, and I was so glad to have been able to take care of your dad all of these years. There's something about the touch of God. My mother, 57 years old, Brother Snyder, was standing over by her bedside quoting the 23rd Psalm. And I began to sing the song, He'll hold my hand as over death's river I go. And as sure as I'm standing before you tonight, I was holding on to Mama's hand, and it was as if though the hand of the Lord came and took her hand out of mine, and she was breathing heavenly air. Amen. Home in the presence of the Lord. There's something about the touch of God. He touches her here. She's on her back, and then he touches her, and now she's on her feet. You may be going through something tonight, and Jesus wants to put you back on your feet. We all experience fear. It is an emotion that God has created within us. We all experience it. When the phone rings in the middle of the night and it's one of your kids, you can't tell me that you don't get scared. You can't tell me that you're not afraid. Something comes rushing through us, and all you want to know is, are you okay? Amanda was here tonight, she would tell you that there was a phone call that came to me, and her and Jordan, my son, Amanda was driving, and she was going down the road. I don't know what happened. I might not ever know exactly what happened, but she went off the side of the road and flipped the car over into a creek, and the car is totally engulfed by water. Some way, I know how, God, amen, was on the scene, but God, and he got them out of there, and she came out. She had a few scratches, and so did Jordan, but they were fine. I went to the hospital, and I looked in. You talking about a scary ride from here to the hospital when your kid has called and said, well, she didn't call, someone called for her. But yes, fear comes when the phone rings like that. It's one of your kids. Fear overwhelms you. You can't help it. It's natural. But God, we've got to face it and fight it and let Jesus come on the scene and touch us and clear the room. He is able to overcome all things. Now, the Bible says that, number one, he touched her. Number two, he took her by the hand. And number three, he raised her to her feet. But then he said something that would seem very odd to me. He said, now, I want you to give her something to eat. I want you to give her something to eat. The atmosphere has now changed. Oh, yeah, there's a commotion going on. But can you imagine the commotion and the difference from all the wailing and the crying and the grieving? Now we've got praising and shouting and everybody's excited. She's now alive and she is well. And the Lord said, now give her something to eat. You know what he was saying to them? Now she needs to kind of feel like something is more normal. A little normality, if you will. Go ahead and just give her something to eat. There was a reason that he let us know that. Here Jesus is saying she's gone through so much for so long. She needs something to be normal. Some folks here would love to just have a normal day. We've had our family, loved ones, church members who have gone through some storms, and they just need a normal day. Maybe just a good night's rest. Maybe just a good night's sleep. They need something normal. In the book of Psalms, chapter number 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In verse number 4, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The shadow of death was over her. The shadow of death. I'm thankful tonight, also over in the book of Psalms, in chapter number, I believe it's 37. And it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his right hand. And then verse number 25 says, I have been young, and now am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. The Lord will take care of you. Amen. He's taking care of me, and I know he's going to continue to. A couple of weeks ago, Terry and I made the decision for me to go ahead and put in for my retirement. This past Monday, I slid the papers across to my supervisor, and I said, I have a little something for you. He said, what is that? I said, go ahead and read it. He said, 2 weeks? I said, yes, sir. I said, I believe that's what the Lord would have for me. I walked out of there that day, and I thought, yeah, I'm gone. Hallelujah. Then this past week, I'll be honest with you, fear crept upon me, Brother Don, a little bit. I didn't make the greatest money working for the county, but we got by pretty well. Terry's still working, of course, and I'm trying my best not to tap into Social Security until later because it'll mean a lot more to me then. So I told my son, I wrote him this morning, and I said, well, son, I said, I'm without a job and may very soon be homeless. You need to pray for your dear old dad. But you know what? With everything within me, I believe it's God's plan. And I must now just reach out by faith and not fear, because I know God has something in store for me. He's taking care of me this week, and I'm sure that He'll take care of me for the rest of them. Amen? But God, I wonder, is there anyone here tonight that would say, you know what, Brother Allen, I've got some fears, and they grip me. I'm going to ask, where's the girls? Are they still here? Would y'all come up and sing that song one more time? Is Shiloh still here? Is she hiding? Would y'all come up and sing that last song that y'all sung a little while ago for an invitation? I want you just to listen to the words of the song. If you're here, you're carrying a heavy load, know this, that you can come, you cast all of your cares upon Him, because He takes care of you. You need to come. If you'll stand. You just want to come and pray. It'd be a great time just to come and bring your care to the Lord. Amen.
Is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand, when everything around me is shaken. I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus.
Amen.
'Cause He's never let me down. He's faithful. So I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength, 'cause I built my life on Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful through every season. So why would He fail?
He won't.
He won't. He won't fail. He won't fail. He won't. He won't. He won't fail. He's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would He fail now? He won't.
That's right.
He won't. He won't fail. He won't fail.
He won't fail me now. Amen. Yes, sir. I run into him from time to time because I unfortunately do a lot of funerals, and he shows up at a lot of places because he's pastored so many good people. And I ran into him just a few weeks ago, and he said, just please continue to keep me in your prayers. And he said, I know the Lord has me. And so we just really want to lift him up in prayer on tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Anything else? Anything at all? If not, turn and tell someone you love them. Have a great week. And we'll see you on Wednesday.